Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. It is finally feeling like October outside. It's looking beautiful today. It's a little breeze, nice temperature. It could be a little cooler for me, but it can always be a little cooler for me. Mr. O'Casey that I have with me would like it a little warmer, absolutely, but we can't win them all, right? So listen, again, if you folks out there right now are wondering what makes a Union Gospel Mission tick, what makes a Union Gospel Mission tick is the people that are working there who are following the direction of Jesus Christ. The gospel is what we're all about. And yes, we have 24 men on our program. We have a nightly service 365 days a year. But the food that is cooked there is what draws many of the people in, and we can never look at the food service part of this as not part of the ministry to the people, and that we are serving Jesus Christ. And so I have Tim Trenum on here, who is the chef, the cook at the Union Gospel Mission, and has been for the last 14 years. And I have, I would call him his apprentice with me, Christian O'Casey. And Christian is originally from Nigeria, and we're going to ask him a little bit about how he made it here. And Tim, as he's exiting the mission to go help back east with his sister, who is getting older, and she's having a lot of physical problems, and he needs to go and get things situated because there's really nobody else there to do those things. And so that's what precipitated his leaving. And although he will eventually be back in the Sacramento area, at least that we are praying that that's the case, still he's going to be gone for a prolonged period of time. He did not want to leave the mission floating in the air with a guy that is gone for 3, 4, 5 months. And so he started training, and I believe that God had opened a door to bring the man in because he knew that Tim was going to exit the mission, and Tim would never want to leave the mission, as I said, in limbo. I would never want to leave as director without knowing that there was somebody behind me that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you think I did a good job or a bad job. The one thing I can tell you is that I've always loved that mission and the people that are there. Somebody said one time, well, people are afraid of you. And several of my staff members laughed when I told them that because I asked the person at the time, who is afraid of me? So I truly care about these folks. I want you guys out there to know I care about you as donors as well, because you're the ones that pump the money into us that we don't take just for granted, that we use for the glory of God. And so at any rate, Timothy, could you say hello to everybody out there?
I'd like to say hello to everybody, and I hope that God is blessing your day.
So, Tim, you're not leaving because you do not care about the mission, right?
Absolutely not, Pastor. We've had this conversation
a lot of times.
And the time I've spent at the mission, I don't believe it was of me.
I agree.
I believe Christ brought me there at a time where he could utilize the blessings that he bestowed upon me to affect the mission and give back to people. I was in retail management for a number of years. I ran 6 departments for Macy's. I had 108 people under me. And I had the ability, I believe God used the abilities that he blessed me with to try to change the mission in a way it could be operable, but yet serve the people. And Amen. It took a while for me to get the disposition out and the attitude I had working out there, because there you don't have the care for a person. You're there to do a job. You'd be pulling the HR office if you show too much attention to somebody. Here, I had to learn how to show that to people, because I'm interacting with not only the 24 men in our program, but also the 108, 110 guests that we serve each and every night.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a transition. And I thank God every day for the ability to do his work at that facility. You asked me when I graduated would I consider interning, and I says, let me pray about it, because you always tell me, don't make no decisions unless you pray.
That's right.
So I came to you a couple weeks later, and I said, sure, I can hang out with you for a couple months. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that was, 14 years ago?
Yeah.
So God had me right where he chose for me to be, not where I wanted to be.
God always has us where he wants us to be. So, Mr. Okazie,
yes, sir.
Christian,
yes, sir.
You, I know a little bit about your background. I know that you originally came from Nigeria, and I think one of the more fascinating things that I heard you say one time was that your grandmother was pivotal too, right? She was a Christian woman. And,
absolutely.
So could you tell me a little bit about your journey, not so much coming from Nigeria, but one, how you got to the mission, and before that, I'd like to hear your parents and your grandparents, their influence on you and the gospel.
All right, so my grandfather, he was actually a pastor himself. I was born in his church on Christmas Day. So my grandparents were real influential in my life. My grandmother, we didn't have much growing up. You know, we were quite poor growing up. And my grandmother, I always watched her as a kid make something out of nothing. She was an excellent cook, but most of all, she loved her family. And that was passed on to my parents, my mom and my dad, both from different tribes in Nigeria. And the likelihood even of them meeting, you know, is a miracle in itself. But one thing I do remember of, you know, the relationship that they had was they always had this kind of love that I couldn't describe. You can never put a description on that kind of love. They would maybe get in an argument for 2 minutes, but within the next 5 minutes, they were back to, you know, loving one another. So we adopted that as, you know, as kids from, you know, my parents. Unfortunately, my dad passed away at the age of 43 from a heart attack.
How old were you at that time?
I was actually a sophomore in college. I was about 19 years old. Yeah, and, you know, I got the unfortunate news. I was actually going to school to become a nurse. So I was going, my major was nursing. So my mom, she actually passed away when I was much younger. I was actually 8 years old when my mom passed away from complications from pregnancy.
Yeah.
And she was actually a nurse herself, but very loving, you know, very loving parents. My dad managed to get us here to the United States before him passing. And so, you know, I grew up bouncing around from state to state. My dad was actually a case clerk. That was his profession. He was actually studying to become a lawyer. So, long story short, moved around all throughout the U.S. from Washington to Louisiana, to the Bay Area where I went to college. And so after my dad passed away, I took on the responsibility of becoming my younger sister. At the time, she was 8 years old. So I became her legal guardian, dropped out of school. And from there, I fell into the kitchen. I started off as a dishwasher, and I worked my way up several positions. You know, ended up working for about 10 years in different kitchens. But I had a mentor at that time that saw something in me similar to Tim, put me under a lot of hours, a lot of work hours, a lot of burns, a lot of heartaches. But at the end of the day, he ignited a passion in me that I didn't even know I had. Like I said, watching my grandma cook and just the passion that she had for what food can do to
someone's soul. She was a believer as well.
She was absolutely a believer. She would actually put us on her back, and we call it treks, you know, so just walk for miles and miles. Because in Nigeria, Christians are being martyred. Yes. It's a mostly Islamic country, and so it was very difficult to maneuver in terms of Christians out there. So, you know, I fell in love with the kitchen post my dad's death. And with the kitchen, I fell into a lot of sin.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't generally just happen like a flash.
No.
So tell me a little bit about how that, what that started to look like with you.
With me, I became an addict. I was addicted to opiates. And I actually, while I was, you know, being an addict, I was creating a family of my own. I got married, and unbeknownst to my wife, I was my ex-wife now, but I was pretty much a daily functioning addict. And that took a toll on her. And eventually I did come and confess to her, letting her know that I was, you know, addicted to opiates. And that was the beginning of our fallout. We have four beautiful kids together. And, you know, with that separation came even more heartache. And that's when I really fell deeper into sin. I started, you know, getting locked up left and right, been to prison multiple times. And this last time that I got out of prison, well, prior to getting out of prison, I prayed, you know, fervently praying every night that God would deliver me from this hole that I couldn't see a way out of. And that was what surprisingly led me to the mission. As soon as I got out of prison, I was looking for a place. I didn't have even a single family member I could call for help. So I went to the mission, and, you know, like you said, 365, you know, days in a year, the mission is feeding people spiritually and physically. And that was what it did for me. You know, I was there as a guest. I was getting a bed there on a regular basis, and at the same time looking for a better way, you know, out. And one day the frontline supervisor came and spoke with me and told me that, offered me a program, saying that, you know, they had a program there at the mission. So next thing I knew, I applied for the mission, and it's been history ever since, 10 months ago.
When was that moment, if there was just one moment, that you realized that Jesus needed to be the Lord of your life, and that you can't have him as just your Savior without him being Lord as well, right?
Right.
And so do you remember, was it a coming back, or was it a new experience that, you know,
I always thought I was a Christian.
Yeah, me too.
Until I got exposed to the gospel for the very first time at the mission. Mm-hmm. Not only was that the focal point of, you know, change and everything for me, but it was so new and refreshing and reviving, because at the end of the day, like I said, I was looking for something to numb the pain or take away the guilt and the shame,
oh, yeah,
you know, that I had at that time. But when I was exposed to the gospel, I came to learn that Jesus Christ had already paid it all.
You know,
he's paid for past sins to come. And just the weight that it took off my shoulder was, you know, I tell my boss here, Tim, every time that I've never had this much peace, you know. Now, do I still go through things? Absolutely. But in the midst of this chaotic life that we all live, there is relief, and that's in Jesus Christ. And Amen. Understanding that was really, really the best thing that has ever happened to me. I, not only do I sleep better at night, but I wake up happy every single day in order to be able to be in a position where I could serve. And, you know, I just thank God for being able to be in a position now, you know. Like you said, I'll be taking over the kitchen here shortly after Tim leaves. And it's a huge responsibility.
It is.
Because we're here to serve the community at the end of the day and be good stewards of, you know, these gifts that we get from our donors. And I cannot thank you guys enough for everything that you've done for not just the mission, but for me personally, because, you know, without these donations, without you guys' help, I wouldn't even be in this position right now. So, you know, I really do thank God, and I'm, you know, I'm very grateful for everything the mission and these donors have done for me.
You know, Christian, the mission is an incredible place to be.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, and you and I have talked many times, and Tim knows me very well. As a young man, I thought I was a Christian because my mother was, my grandmother was, but I lived my life as if he didn't exist.
Right.
And so it's only when you're in trouble that you think, oh, I need to pray, right?
Right. No.
But to your point, when you really believe, when you are really willing to submit to God, and I don't mean in a rote, I've got to do this or he's not going to love me, because you said it. We are saved by grace through faith, and this not of ourselves.
Right.
Why? Because it's a gift of God. So none of us can boast. I wasn't sick. I wasn't almost dead. I was dead in my sins and transgressions.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, before we, and I'm going to have you, of course, back on the show, but I wanted us to just touch bases. Tim, this is usually the time of the year when you tell the folks out there what it is we need to help the people. And by the way, when you hear a man on the program, or anybody for that matter, who starts to feel not only gratitude, but the desire to help others, is the sign that, and I'm not talking about a streaking comment, but I've seen over the years, those that most want to give back are the ones that are most likely to succeed in their walk away from addiction and to Christ. Because when we train our men, I was just telling, I was doing a tour this morning, and I was talking to the lady, and I said, our men are trained twice a day. They come in for class, and they learn from the Bible. And you would say, well, are we always going over addiction and stuff? No, because the root of addiction is the same root that you out there who are successful and living your lives without Christ, you have the same problem, and it's sin. And so the root of the addiction, there's a lot of different avenues. There's to cover the pain of loss, to, you know, because you just want to be self-indulgent. But underlying that all is sin, right?
Absolutely.
But this is the time of year, talking about giving back, that Tim, you guys are preparing for the holidays. What do you need in the kitchen?
Well, like every year, we give a complete meal to our guests. We do 100 food boxes during the Thanksgiving November. And in those food boxes, we do put instant mashed potatoes, instant stuffing, canned vegetables, canned fruit, gravy. And we give away turkeys. So any of those items we can definitely use to give away to the community that are less fortunate. And how nice it is when we go to Thanksgiving and we're able to sit down at a table with our family and our loved ones. We are their family, the homeless. They come to us, and we want to provide them with a meal. So we also have a banquet meal for all our homeless guests, too. So turkeys are always welcome. And any of the items that I, if you have any questions, UGMSAC.com.
Yep.
That'll tell you everything that we need. And everything that is given to the mission is given out. So
that's right.
Everything that gets earmarked to be used, that's where it gets used at. So please feel free if you can. I know times are hard right now, but, you know, even a can of fruit, it doesn't matter how big or how small. It's just at the thought, and it comes from your heart, you know, and know that we're yep. doing God's work with the items that you do give us.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right, and you'd be surprised at the gratitude, right? That,
right.
That not everybody's grateful, but I can tell you also that we get some amazing donations. You know, we get pumpkin pies in sometimes from Costco, and I got to tell you, Tim doesn't like pumpkin pies, but I do, and they are really good.
Really
They're
good.
Really good.
Really good.
So, Christian, is there anything that you can see as far as needs go over and above?
Just like Tim said, you know, just going into the holiday season, just festive things, you know, like yeah. the turkeys, the canned food, stuffing. One thing that we try to do when we're at the mission is cook it to the best of our abilities. At
yes.
the end of the day,
yes.
Yes, we do it for our guests. We call them guests because, like he said, they're our family. And but we try to cook it to the best quality as we possibly can. We have an excellent group of chefs there right now at the mission.
Yeah.
Very talented, very versatile. So please, anything that you guys are able to donate, honestly, really helps a lot. I know it's helped me, and I know for sure it could definitely touch and help someone, you know, especially in the position that they're in, being on the streets and everything like that.
Yeah.
It could just give them that reminder that, you know, that they are loved, you
Amen.
Know, and that's what it did for me. So, you know, we want to thank the donors for everything.
I also wanted to add that along with all those things that were mentioned by my two friends here, people sometimes do not understand that your prayers, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are praying for this mission, for the people out on the street, for the people that have houses or apartments or trailers or whatever, because when they're talking about food boxes, we give out food boxes to families and people over 65 years or 62 years old. And we want them to have the traditional Thanksgiving most of us have had. So, gentlemen, first of all, I'd like to thank each one of you. Timothy, you're always my friend. I'm, of course, sad to see you going. I know that we will not lose touch with each other. We plan on still getting together. And Christian, it has been a long time since I have been as encouraged about somebody outside of the fact that Matthew in our finance department came. But I've from the very beginning believed I saw something special in you. And the most important part for all of us is walking with Christ. So as always, my dear friends, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.